Good afternoon. This is Dr. John Paul, along with Minister Linda. We want to welcome you back to Life Saving Ministries Bible Study on this Sunday afternoon. We are here on 93.3 FM Real Talk Radio each Sunday from 3 to 4 o'clock. And following us will be Pastor Bobby Key at 4 o'clock p.m. Right now, I'd like for us to look into a study that continues from last week, but this one will be titled Memorializing the Word of God Through His Life and Death. Before we begin, I'd like for us to bow in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we just come before your throne of grace. Once again, just thanking you so much, Father, for the many blessings that you've provided for us this week and the blessings that you continue to pour down upon us. We can't thank you enough. Forgive us for our many sins. Lead, guide, direct us. Be with us, shield us, and protect us as we go through this special Memorial Weekend, that we'll be shielded and protected from any and all danger and evil. Now, Father, as we get into this study, we ask you to send your Holy Spirit to be among us, to guide us through your word, and to lay upon us the word that you would like for us to hear and its meaning, that it may touch us in a special way. In Jesus' special, blessed name, we pray. Amen. We're going to be looking in our study this week at a study in Ephesians chapter 1. So you might want to get your Bibles, pen handy, as we go through this study, because I'm going to be breaking down some things in that, and then I'm going to be looking back in Genesis 1:1, and you're going to be surprised at what you're going to learn today from just that study. You know, let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 1, and follow me as I read from the King James Version. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Accordingly, as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches and his grace. In 8, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Let us say amen to the reading of those words. God has blessed us in heavenly realms and heavenly places with every spiritual blessing. Why is this so? We see in verse 1:1, you, saints, have been faithful in Christ Jesus. Isn't that an excellent reputation for one who has been faithful? And what benefits do we get from God for this? First of all, it's knowing God. Secondly, we're chosen for salvation. Third, we're adopted as his children. Fourth, we have the forgiveness for and from our sins, past, present, and future. 5, an insight into God's plans and word. 6, gifts of the Spirit. 7, power to do God's will. And 8, hope of a living with Christ eternally. When, Lord Jesus Christ has said, it is now. His kingdom is now and upon us. How long will this last? Eternally. And it's not temporal. It's not earthly. And where do they come from, these spiritual blessings? They're from the spiritual realm, they are not from an earthly. In chapter 1, verse 4, God chose us where? In Him. And the point is salvation comes totally from and through Jesus Christ. In John 14:6, it says, "For it's by faith through life that we are saved." You know, that's important. Let's look at John 14:6. It says in verse 6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Did you get that? No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There are two words that I'd like to point out at that. It comes from grace and mercy. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy is withholding from us what we do deserve, and that's death and eternal separation. And peace is the harmony between the two. When does this take place? Well, in chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "Before the creation of the world, God saw that there would be a need for a salvation of his people because they would be born into sin." And Minister Linda will cover more about that later. But it says in Jeremiah chapter 1, 4 through 5, that's Jeremiah now, chapter 1, 4 through 5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet," Jeremiah, "to the nations." That's right. God knew us before we were born, and he knew exactly who would come unto him. Even though we have a right to decisions and choices, God still knew who would come and be a part of his kingdom. Why? In chapter 1, verse 6 of Ephesians, "Through the love in the one Jesus Christ, who he loves, God made this possible." How? It's through the redemption. Through 1, his blood. Through 2, his forgiveness of sins. And 3, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. In what way does this take place? Well, in chapter 1, verse 11, it says the following. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own good." We were chosen. We were predestined to come if we would so choose. We were according to his plan, purpose, and will, and we would be praising and glorifying God. By what way is this possible? It's through the Word of God. The Word. Jesus Christ is the Word. Who wrote the Word is the Word. And in this Word that we're talking about, look back in Ephesians chapter 1, 13. It says, let's look at 12, "that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ." 13, "in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." Amen? That comes through Christ Jesus. His life, death, burial, resurrection, and hope. That's the gospel. Now, before we go any further, I'd like for you to listen to a special selection of music by Carol Robertson. "Prayer is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door."
Is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door. Words are so easily spoken. A prayer without faith is like a boat without an oar. Have faith when you speak, to the master. That's all he asks you for. Yes, prayer is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door.
How many times have you prayed for something big or small? How long did you have to wait? Or did the answer ever come at all? Words are mere expressions of thought and nothing more. Believing is what really counts, my friend. And faith is what unlocks the door. Have faith when you speak to the master. That's all he asks you for. Yes, prayer is the key to heaven.
How true that is, brothers and sisters in Christ, ladies and gentlemen. Prayer is the key to heaven, but it's that faith that unlocks the door. We know the plan, the reason, and how, but what was done after creation, before Jesus Christ came to earth? You know, God set down a pattern of his own plan so we all could see and recognize and observe what the gospel would truly become to everyone. In Genesis 1:1, I'd like for you to take a close look at this, because a lot of people read over it and never realize what those words have to say to us. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." But let's look at it even closer. And if you don't mind, I'd like to read it in Hebrew. Bereshith Elohim bara et hashamayim et eretz. The very first word is the word Bereshith, and that in English spelled out is "in the beginning." But you know, there's more to that word than you can realize, and I'd like to break it down for you. It's going to surprise you what you're fixing to find out. The Bet, Resh, Alif, Shin, Yud, and Tav are the letters found in Bereshith. The Aleph and Tav means first and last, Alpha and Omega. This is the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The Bet, in its enlarged format, means house, and this emphasizes the greatest house, which is the house of God. Now, Reshith, without the Bet, means the firstborn. The word Bar, which is Barish, is sun. And the word Sheen and Aleph, or Aleph and Sheen, read together, is the word Ash, means consuming fire. Then we've got the word Sheen, or Sheen. That means dignity, and it means almighty. The word Yud, or Yod, is hand. And if the way it's positioned in this word Bereshith, it's at the right hand of, or right side of, Sheen, which means that the Messiah sits at the right hand of God the Father. Well, what does this all mean? Well, write this down if you want to. Listen to me carefully. There's going to be a firstborn son who is going to build the house of God, who will be a consuming fire, the strength of the cross, who is Almighty God and will sit at the right hand of God. That's none other than Jesus Christ. So Bereshith is Jesus Christ, who is Elohim. Now, Elohim is plural, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So Jesus Christ is God who created the heavens and the earth. If you want to compare this, go to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in the beginning, all things were created by Him, for Him, and through Him. And if nothing's created, nothing's created without Him. Wow! Now you see the comparison. Now, YHWH, you've seen, is also pronounced Yahweh. This is the pronunciation of God in its Hebrew form. And in His name, this means Hashem. We have redemption, the purchase out of slavery or out of sin. The redemption and salvation comes from the nailed hand of God. Now, you know, we can look a little further into Scripture. It's quite interesting if you look at Exodus. You know, the children of Israel were led by Moses out of the land of Egypt, which is referred to quite often as sin or being led out of sin. They were led up to the Red Sea. This means redemption. They were redeemed out of sin. And then after they passed through the Red Sea, when it was opened by God, this was a picture of salvation. Now notice, this was a spiritual picture. They actually were not baptized in water, but they were baptized by the Spirit through water. And therefore, it is a picture of redemption and salvation, as we will see it coming in the New Testament. Are you beginning now to see how the Old Testament is a step-by-step process in giving us a picture, a format of things to come, of things that take place? But you know, God chose the children of Israel to be His preachers, His teachers, those that would lead the world to salvation and preach the gospel. But they failed miserably to follow through with God's plan. Unfortunately, they just would not do what God asked them to do. Yet in Genesis 1:31, God made the world very good in the beginning. It was without corruption, decay, and death, as we see in Romans 8:20 through 21. And He made man in His own image, reflecting His glory in Genesis 1:27. But yet what took place? Sin entered the world and deceived man, as it deceives us today. So God knew before He created the universe, He had to have a way. He had to make a way for us to be saved, to be redeemed from our sinful nature, and to receive salvation so that we could live with Christ eternally. You know, there is also a book called Ruth, and in it we saw the picture of Ruth, who was not a Jew by any means, but she supported her husband who was, and she supported her mother-in-law after her husband passed away. And so she stayed with her and gave her that support, even if it was gleaning seed from a field to eat. And Boaz comes in and sees this woman and takes special pleasure in helping her, and finally falls in love with her. Here is a clear picture of Boaz, who becomes the kinsman redeemer and stood in place of the relative who refused to save her. Wow! This is a clear picture of the kinsman redeemer, or it shows us what? A picture of what's likened to Jesus Christ as our kinsman redeemer. Minister Linda's going to have more to teach. But before I end today, I would like to play another selection of music. And remember, we will have a short break after my section one. And then in section two, or segment two, Minister Linda will be coming to teach you. The last song that I'd like to play today is from Carol Robertson, The Reason I believe.
If you know his peace inside, in your heart his love abides, then you know the reason I believe. When you see a moonbeam and your heart begins to sing, then you know the reason I believe. I believe there is one God who created everything. I believe this earth he trod, and he died for you and me. When the book of John you read, from your heart his love bleeds, then you know the reason I believe. I believe there is one God who created everything. I believe this earth he trod, and he died for you and me. If you can walk without a fear, and you feel that God is near, then you know the reason I believe. Then you know the reason I believe.
Do you know for sure the reason you believe? Are you satisfied that you are faithful to Christ in your belief, and that you have a firm structure of faith in him? If you don't today, then take a look. You might have to go back to square one. You might have to get back and get on the knees and ask him forgiveness of sins and ask him to come into your life and save you. Lord, don't go a day without a day to convict someone today and bring them into the fold before it's too late. You know it's your choice. You only have one choice. It's either for Christ, because the other choice is to go with Satan eternally, and you surely don't want to go that direction. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've enjoyed this study this day. We want you to stay tuned now for Minister Linda as she comes in after the break. And then, remember, after our program at 4 o'clock, you will hear Pastor Bobby Key come in with a special message. I'm sure you don't want to miss that as well. God bless each one of you this Memorial Day. Hope you're having a pleasant day, and I hope you will have a safe one. May you be shielded in God throughout the entire day. Amen.